When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number two of the program here on Thursday morning. And we are asking the question this morning, would you rather see school start after Labor Day? Now, some of you don't have kids who are students. Some of you don't work in school. Some of you don't care. But it's something that if you do have kids in school, you're probably scratching your head and wondering why it has to be this way. If you're a parent who is thinking, we could have gone somewhere this weekend, but the kids got to go to school Thursday and Friday. So now we have only 3 days. We might as well just stay home. No, because a lot of families, they might have left yesterday, had Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, came back Monday, kids go to school Tuesday. For me personally, that would have been fine. Some people might say, well, they need a day at home to readjust before they go back to school. So we'll get home Sunday. They can have Monday off at home. Some people may feel that way. For me, I could have just gone back the next day. As somebody who, I guess you could say that's where my lack of taking time off comes from, because I was so used to, that's what we would do, is if we did go somewhere, we would come back the last possible minute. So I just got used to it. But this is because, the students have to be, they have to get their 180 days in. And I guess the decision is to start them earlier in August so that they don't have to stay later in June, because the potential for snow days could drag it out even more, where, kids could be going to school in July. But that very rarely ever happens. I can't remember the last time kids probably used all of their allotted snow days. And as Not Bad pointed out in App Chat, they can do remote learning now. In those situations, I don't think it's that easy. I don't think it's just like, well, hey, kids, it's going to snow, so we're going to be remote tomorrow, because they've been away from the remote learning model. So there'd need to be like a reintegration of it. But I think that you would have more luck. I don't know. I guess I was going to say kids are probably less distracted at the end of the year than they are at the beginning of the year if it's, still summertime. But I think they're going to be distracted either way. They either don't want to be there or they want to kind of get out of there as fast as they can. Nothing drove me crazier during the school, at the end of the school year, then those days that we went to school that we did nothing and we were just there because we had to be. Like, why do we have to be here? Why are we all gathered together in the gym of West Elementary School in Plymouth watching Born Free? Born Free might be the most boring movie I've ever seen in my life. And I like nature documentaries. I like wildlife. I like all that stuff. But oh my God, Born Free. And it was like every year. They didn't have like a real movie screen in the gym. They just projected it on the gym wall. And we all had to sit there and watch Born Free as we sat on the gym floor with our necks craned up looking at that, like, whoa, why? Just let us go home. But also back in those days, there was a lot more. I'll say it, fun during the course of the school year. You had presentations where people would come and give, you know, they would have an assembly and they'd give a presentation. You had days where the teacher said, we're just going to watch a movie today. There were days that I just watched PBS for multiple hours in the morning. In the classroom, that's what just what we're, today we're going to watch Reading Rainbow and Square One, Electric Company. Like we would, that's what we would do. So that stuff, I guess, doesn't really fly anymore with MCAS and getting kids prepared for that. But we had an assembly at least once a month. I remember. Food play with Toby and Johnny, I think it was, where they came and they gave you a presentation about like what foods are healthy and what foods aren't. That's where they had the big dinosaur tooth that they would drop into the vat of soda and show you how soda rots your teeth. They would like juggle and do magic tricks and everything while talking about food. There were probably at least a dozen different presentations I can remember. And I thought, hey, that's something I can do. I can talk about ghosts to school kids. I do it all the time in after school situations. I can present myself as a presenter to schools and say, I can come in and do an assembly. And they all told me the same thing. We don't really do assemblies anymore. The kids need to be in the classroom. So I get it. You're under those requirements. And the kids need to maximize their classroom time, but I still think you can have a few more days of summer. Like I said earlier, maybe that 180 days could be 175 days and it wouldn't really make that much of a difference. But what do you think? 508-996-0500. App chat, open line voicemails on the WBSM app. There's a story out of Providence this morning. Actually, this happened on Tuesday, but I was reading about it this morning. The skyline at Water Place venue in Providence. They found the body of a decomposing man there Tuesday morning. His name has not been released, but he was apparently dead for several days. And police said that he worked there. And that the owner allowed him to sleep there due to his unhoused status, he didn't have anywhere to live, and his medical condition. Now, this is a place that does weddings and events and all those kind of things, but it's been closed since July 27th because there's some issues between the owner and the city, which WPRI reports stems from an alleged lease violation, alleged lease violations due to improper maintenance. So since last November, the city has been trying to evict Skyline from there. But they haven't had any business happening there since July 27th. So this man, who knows how long he was there? 508-996-0500. Good morning. You are on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim. Gilly Safiolis.
How you doing?
Great. I'm calling about the New Bedford Chief of Police.
Okay.
Okay. Now, there's a gentleman you know, that he's always been asked questions. Why are the police officers abandoning ship and going to the surrounding towns? Okay. Now, people out there should realize that he himself applied for the Falmouth job as chief of police, which he never got. Okay. Now, do you realize, you know, you talk, people talk about, you know, the mayor especially, that crime is going down since Paul Oliveira was the chief. But let me explain something with numbers. You know that the gentleman just got a raise to sign in again for another 3 years as the chief of police? Does anybody out there know what the mayor makes?
It's well, like a, I think it's like $103,000.
$116,000. He hasn't taken a raise for a long time. Do you know what he just signed for? You know what he was making in 2023?
I don't.
$201,000. He makes double the money that the mayor was making. And now the contract he just signed for 3 years is $209,000. And by the time he leaves in 2026, he's going to be making $219,000. And there's a gentleman that tried to bend the ship. And they ask him a question, why are people living, leaving the police department? He tried to do it himself. Now he comes back, he gets elected, and all of a sudden, he's up the mayor's kista, and he gets a raise besides. He's doing that job. He's a hippity-hop, a cartoon cop. The people, even the union gave no confidence in him.
Well, I will say that it's not uncommon in communities for the police chief and the superintendent of schools to make more money than the mayor. Like that happens quite often.
No, I understand that, Tim. I understand that. But don't ask him questions and he's not answering. Why are the police officers leaving the city? It's because they have no confidence in him. That's why they're leaving the city.
Well, there's other factors for sure, but yeah, no, they voted no confidence in him. That is true.
But to come back and the mayor giving him and talking about the crime he's been down since he took over, he doesn't even do his job. Okay? He's not doing his job. He's a police officer, and the people that work for him know more about the law than him.
Well, I mean, what part of his job do you feel that he's not doing?
Well, exactly. I'm glad you asked that question. In City Hall, I got attacked by Linda Mora right in front of his eyes.
All right, okay, all right. I'm not going down that road. Do you have another reason why you think that he's not doing the job that he's hired to do?
I'm giving you numbers, Tim. I'm giving you numbers.
I didn't hear a number.
No, I'm just giving you the numbers that he's getting paid for.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
But what other aspects of the job do you feel that he's not doing?
Protecting his people. Protecting the other officers. If what he's been doing, he'd be filing charges against those officers if they did the same thing he's doing. There's the numbers. I'm not, you know, I'm giving you numbers. I'm not making that up. It's not the point that I get. I'm the only one out here that brings the facts with numbers to the people out there. He don't belong there. That's the union didn't even get back to the article that the New Bedford Light put out there. The union can't stand him.
All right. I'm going to hold you there because I got another call. But you have a good day.
He don't belong out there.
All right.
He's a hip hop, the cartoon call.
All right. Have a good day, Gilly. All right.
Bye-bye.
I got a couple of calls here. We'll try and get through them before the break. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. I'll be real quick. So, breaking news, I had like some in-depth thoughts and conversations with a lot of people, and you know where I stand on the national level and presidential level in the election.
Mm-hmm.
After like real deep, I'm actually going to probably pull the lever for Trump.
Okay.
And the biggest reason is policy.
Oh, you're kind of cutting out on us. Your phone is phasing in and out.
Okay, yeah, I'm in a bad area. You know what? I'll call you in a little bit.
Okay, that works. Thank you.
I'll call you back. Bye.
All right. And let's take this call here. Good morning. You're next on WBSM.
Good morning, Tim.
Morning.
How you doing? No, I don't think that the kids should have to go these days.
You think they should go after Labor Day?
Yeah. I mean, years ago, we used to go after Labor Day. And a lot of people, the parents, they have vacations around this time. And they can't go because, you know, because they have to go to school and get ready for school and all, you know, all that stuff. And when we were younger, we'd just go to Vermont or something like that for a long weekend. And not to see relatives and things like that. But, I mean, no, that's just crazy. It really is. Go ahead, sorry.
No, you go ahead.
And I have a question, too. My sister had passed 2 months ago. The other day, this is weird, I was awake, but I was just laying here. You know, I was just going to get up out of bed. And I heard her voice say, Colleen.
Mm.
And what does that mean?
I don't know. Maybe just trying to reach out and let you know she's around?
I know. Because I did hear her voice, and it was her voice, yeah. I love that.
That's what my psychic friends refer to as an affirmation. So it's just kind of a letting you know they're around and that they care about you.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, I knew she did anyway. All righty then. So okay. I'm glad you had a great trip and good pitches too.
Thank you.
And margarita was something.
Yeah, that was a huge margarita. I had a margarita that was bigger than my head, and I'm not kidding.
I know. I saw it.
You know what? You know what's the funniest part about that? That margarita was $13.
Is it?
Yeah.
Wow. That is cheap.
It was huge. I got that, and I got a shot of Terramana tequila, which is the Rocks tequila brand. Oh, I just wanted to try it.
I can't do tequila.
The shot was like $4.
No kidding. Wow. You must get wasted over there. Just, that's great.
Well, in the casino bar, they have a slew of $5 drink specials, but even like the tallest draft beer is like $7. Mixed drinks are like $7. So like it's very affordable if you're looking for a nice little vacation. It's a pain to get to Sault Ste. Marie, but it's a great little place.
Oh my gosh. That's something else. Yeah. You must really have a good time over there.
I drank way more $5 mudslides than I should have drank.
Oh, wow. Oh, that sounds good.
I never drink mudslides except for when I'm there.
Oh, yeah. Well, they sell that already mixed. I don't know how those are, though. I see those in the bottles.
Yeah, I don't know. I love ice cream, and so I was like, well, yeah, I can have dessert and a drink at the same time.
It sounds good. Well, you have a great day.
You as well. Take care.
Yeah, bye-bye.
And that was, I probably had more mudslides than I should have. Not because I shouldn't have drank. I mean, come on, I'm on vacation, but it's a heavy drink. I came home and I was like, oh, I gained a couple pounds. Uh-oh. But it's all right. I've pretty much already taken them off. It's funny because all I cared about was just being healthier this year when I went to this thing. Like when I'm hauling my stuff up to the convention space, I didn't want to be out of breath like I'd been in the past. You know, I should be able to go and carry stuff from my hotel room to the convention space. It's in the same building. It's a 5-minute walk. I shouldn't be huffing and puffing. And like, that's all that I cared about. And then I realized like, oh, everybody else is huffing and puffing too, carrying all their stuff. Like, oh, it's not because I was overweight. It's because we're just getting old and we stayed up all night and partied the night before. So anyway, 508-996-0500. I've got to take a break here. We'll be back in a few moments. And welcome back in. We'll take some of your calls coming up at 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. We can talk about students going back to school. We can talk about whatever's going on in the news. We can talk about whatever's on your mind. And that's the great thing about getting up in the morning, is that we're basically just having breakfast, a cup of coffee, hanging out together before our day really gets started. So everything is on the table. And so we'll talk more about all that coming up. But right now, Phil Devitt in the WBSM newsroom is going to update us on all of the top stories of the day.
Kamala Harris getting ready for her first sit-down interview as a presidential candidate. Six more dead from a listeria outbreak. And the U.S. Surgeon General's warning about stress.
From the WBSM Newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Kamala Harris is under Republican scrutiny for including her VP pick in her first interview since announcing her run for president. Arkansas Governor Sarah Huckabee Sanders claims Democrats think Harris can't handle a one-on-one interview.
It's clear that her own team and her own party think she needs a babysitter, and that's why they're putting her vice presidential nominee on the stage with her.
Republicans also question why the interview needs to be pre-taped. Harris and Minnesota Governor Tim Walz are set to sit with CNN in an interview to air at 9 p.m. tonight. The interview is expected to take place while Harris and Walz are on a bus tour through Georgia. A United Airlines flight had to make an emergency landing Wednesday after severe turbulence caused a number of injuries. The Boeing 737 was flying from Cancun to Chicago when it hit severe turbulence near Tennessee and was forced to land in Memphis. Six people suffered minor injuries, one person taken to a hospital. Meanwhile, United flight attendants are approving a strike across the country if they don't reach an agreement over raises, job security, and benefits. Ford Motor Company putting the brakes on its diversity, equity, and inclusion efforts. Tammy Trujillo reports.
It's the latest high-profile U.S. company to make such a move. Ford says it will no longer be participating in the annual Human Rights Campaign's Corporate Equality Index and says it will stop using quotas for minority dealerships and suppliers. Recently, other companies like Lowe's, Harley-Davidson, and Tractor Supply all said they would stop or cut back on certain DEI efforts. The companies have cited changing social and political environments in announcing their decisions. I'm Tammy Trujillo.
A former Nevada politician has been found guilty of murdering a Las Vegas journalist. A jury agreed that ex-Clark County Public Administrator Robert Tellis killed Las Vegas Review-Journal investigative reporter Jeff Gerben in September of 2022. This after Gerben wrote negative articles about him. The jury returned the guilty verdict on Wednesday after deliberating since Monday. Tellis was sentenced to life in prison the same day with eligibility for parole after 20 years. The CDC says six more people have died from an outbreak of contaminated deli meat. Since May, nine people have died and nearly 60 have been hospitalized by a listeria outbreak connected to Boar's Head Meats. Boar's Head expanded its deli meat recall in July to include an additional 7 million pounds of ready-to-eat meats from its plant in Virginia. And the U.S. Surgeon General says parental stress is a serious public health concern. Vivek Murthy released an advisory Wednesday that said parents are increasingly overwhelmed by the dizzying pace of the world. It cites a 2023 report that says a third of all parents report high stress.
WBSM Sports.
Well, the Red Sox knocked out the Blue Jays 3-0 at Fenway Park. The series wraps tonight, first pitch at 7:10. And New England Patriots head coach Gerard Mayo has apparently decided on his starting quarterback, but he's waiting to inform the players before making it public. The decision comes after a competition between veteran Jacoby Brissett and rookie Drake May. Mayo expected to announce his choice after a team meeting today.
Now, your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Good to be with you, everybody, on this Thursday. We're enjoying beautiful weather, refreshing air this morning in the mid-60s under mostly clear skies. Temperatures on the cooler side, mostly sunny this afternoon in the mid-70s. Mostly clear overnight in the low 50s as we head into tomorrow and Saturday. These temperatures in the mid to low 70s under mostly sunny skies. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
Weather on WBSM is brought to you by SeaStreak. Whether it's a daycation or a staycation, get there with SeaStreak. Visit SeaStreak.com for reservations to Martha's Vineyard or Nantucket. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM, and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
We started dancing and love put us into a groove.
And welcome back in. And Shannon, as much as I would like to let the music play, we've got some talking to do. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, let's try this again, Tim.
Sure. Sounds much better.
Well, it helps. I'm not on Wi-Fi calling anymore, too. So that spotty internet where I'm at is terrible out here. So, like I was saying, it really pains me to actually have to admit this, that I would probably be voting for Trump this time. And the main reason is I separated personality from policy. And I kind of did like a bullet point, and I kind of checked off things that I agreed with him on and disagreed with him on. And a lot of his domestic policies I agreed with, right? So one would be the border policy. I agree that it was a lot stronger and that we have a significant problem right now. So that was a check mark for him. His tax policies were fine. In fact, I used to criticize him on the tariffs. And after I was actually having a conversation with an economist online, he explained to me, the point of a tariff is to raise prices, because you are trying to raise prices on imports from abnormally deflated prices from, say, China, those prices are deflated through forced labor and devaluation manipulation of their currency. So you do want to actually increase prices on their imports so they are equal to American-made products. And I was like, now I see his point, why he was doing it. And I used to criticize him, saying he's going to raise prices, and this is actually a tax on the American people. It is, but it makes it comparable to an American-made product. And then in regards to NATO, I was very hard on him, and I still am, on how he approached NATO. Now, a lot of those on the left would say he wanted to leave NATO. That was a threat that wasn't going to culminate to much. It was a way to get the other NATO countries to increase their defense spending, which they have significantly. So NATO is actually stronger now because of the ridiculous threats by Trump to pull out. I don't think he was ever going to, but he's like, you know what? If you guys don't stop paying up, we're out. And now all the countries are living up to that 2% GDP. So their defenses are significantly strengthened because of that veiled threat. Now, I still disagree with him on how he did it, but the policy going forward, he did accomplish something very good for NATO. He actually strengthened it. He didn't weaken it.
Well, I mean, I guess a lot of people are going to be voting the same way, where they'll have to analyze policy, like you said, over personality, because that's, you know, if you don't like the personality of either candidate, that'll be all that you have to go on. And really, that should be a more major factor than personality anyway. The problem is policy is getting lost in the shuffle way too much here.
Yeah, I agree with you. Everybody focuses on personality because we vote based on celebrityism. You know, who do I like? Who do I feel like I could have a beer with? Which was great when it was George W. Bush, right? That was one of his big shticks. It was like, I could see that I could sit down at a bar and have a beer and talk about, you know, what's going on in my life with him. It really doesn't matter, because things are a lot bigger and a lot badder right now in regards to the global and domestic stage. When it comes to RFK and Tulsi, I went, why are these two lefties, especially RFK, a far lefty? He is like completely off the rails type of lefty. But yeah, I looked at him and I said, why is this guy going to almost throw away his center compass and go away with Harris and vote for Trump? And then the same thing with Tulsi. Tulsi is somebody who I actually supported during the 2020 presidential campaign. I supported her initially when she started coming out, because I was listening to her and she made a lot of sense. And then she dropped out like everybody else did. But I supported her. So when she came out and said, you know, I'm with this guy and not her, I was like, this got to be something, man.
Well,
it's really off.
I would just caution you on the Kennedy aspect of it. It doesn't seem like it was some magnanimous decision to say, you know, this is where my heart lies. It seems like it was, this is the person that's going to give me something in return for this.
Yes. Yeah. We actually talked about that actually earlier. That is a major concern of mine. Now, my other question is Shanahan, his vice presidential candidate, RFK's, where does she lie? The fact that she sided with or supported RFK on this decision speaks volume, because she's a hard lefty also. She's very, very liberal.
Yeah,
I didn't hear of her and actually supporting Trump.
The only things that I saw from her when, you know, trying to search and look for anything about what she might have said was, I just kept seeing the story about how she said, you know, 2 days before he pulled out of the race that they weren't going to be pulling out of the race. So,
yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if it was any other candidate other than Trump, I'd be voting for, like, I wouldn't vote for, put it this way, I wouldn't vote for Trump in probably the primaries, because I'm more aligned with, you know, other people that were in the primaries at one point. But now that it's just these two, you know, the stakes are too high, in my opinion, to kind of sit out this whole thing. The other thing in regards to Harris that really concerned me was her tax policy on capital gains, like future capital gains, unrealized capital gains.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's not going to affect me, you know. I know it's over $100 million or whatever it is. But to me, it's more the principle. It's like not what affects me, but what affects the country as a whole.
Well, and not enough people vote that way where they say, you know, let's look beyond how it affects me personally and see whether or not it's good for everybody overall. And that doesn't happen nearly enough.
No, it honestly doesn't. A lot of people say, well, who cares? You know, that's the rich. Who cares? It doesn't affect me. Well, it does, because it's the country as a whole. You can't be looking at, like, you know, let's defund the police in Cambridge because there's no crime here. But yet here in New Bedford, we're defunding, you know, if we defunded the police, the murder rate would go through the roof. It doesn't make any sense. You know, you can't vote specifically on how it affects you only. You have to look at how it affects the Commonwealth or how it affects the nation as a whole. And unrealized capital gains, going after that, that's very, for lack of a better term, communistic. You know, you're trying to tear down a very wealthy individual to distribute to, you know, the middle class and the poor people based on gains that you haven't even realized yet. And then I heard one of her surrogates on CNBC try to explain what the unrealized capital gains were, and he equated it to property tax. He goes, well, you already pay unrealized capital gains when you pay property tax. And I listened to it, and I'm like, this is not unrealized capital gains. That's a use tax. Property taxes are a use tax for the use of education, the use of your police, and use of your fire. It's not unrealized capital gains on the sale of your house.
Right.
Because then again, you pay capital gains when you sell your house. So even her surrogates have no economic clue whatsoever. So that really put, like, another check mark in Trump's camp. Now, I disagree with him with how he proposed his past tax policies, where he sunsets the middle class tax cuts and made it permanent for the very wealthy. I think that was political gamesmanship, so he could have an issue to run on. But, you know, hopefully he can, you know, if he wins, hopefully he actually can make that permanent or extend it.
Are you going to watch the interview tonight with Harris and Walz on CNN?
Probably. If not, I'll get the snippets later on. I might not watch it live, but
yeah, I don't know if I'll stay up that late tonight, because I was up late last night. But I'm going to try to watch it, and if not, I'll DVR it to watch later.
Yeah, or I'll just get the bullet points. But you know, it's going to be interesting to see what questions are asked and how much Walz plays into the interview. Like, is he going to be the guardian and trying to take more of the shots and more of the questions on policy, or is she going to have to answer for the lapse of her border policy that she was supposed to be in charge of?
Yeah, I think it'll be more of a, you know, pointed question to this person, pointed question to that person kind of thing, but we'll see. I got to hold you there because I got to take a break. But thank you for the call. Have a good one.
You got it. Later.
And yeah, I think, I mean, people are, I see all these comments on social media like, well, look, see, she can't do an interview on her own. She has to have him there with her. This is not anything new. They've had candidates, they've had the whole ticket in the interview plenty of times in the past. So I think that they know how to handle interviews like this. They'll ask this person a question, this person. I mean, they'll have some that are kind of open to either one of them answering as well, but they'll have specific questions for each person. I got to take a break. 508-996-0500. Be back in a few moments. Oh, like I'm trying to think of where you would need to use Storrow Drive to get to. And there's a phenomenon known as Storrowing. Are you familiar with this? This is the trucks that get stuck under Storrow Drive because they don't pay attention to the signs that say what the height restrictions are. So those of you who are going to go out and rent moving trucks to move your kid into school, keep an eye out for those signs because you don't want to get Storrowed. That's when you get stuck under the bridge. And actually, you think this is something that people would have learned by now and that it doesn't happen all that much, but that's not the case. In fact, so far in 2024, there have been 14 bridge strikes along Storrow Drive and Soldiers Field Road in Boston. The record is 17 set in 2022. So you're three away from tying the record, and you're going to get three at least when kids start moving into college, into BU. You're going to get a lot more than three. And by the end of the year. So you're going to have a new record for Storrowing. And the signs are right there. And I get it. Sometimes you don't know what the height is of the vehicle you're driving, especially if it's a rental. A couple years ago, I rented a 15-passenger van from the New Bedford Airport to drive all my friends around that came from all over the country for a paranormal event. And they're like, let's go to Salem. Okay. Driving around looking for a place to park. Try to park in the garage across from the PBD Essex Museum. And I get ready to pull in and I see the clearance sign and I'm like, I don't know if I'm not going to make that. And thankfully I stopped before I got jammed up in there because it would have been just enough that I would have wedged myself as opposed to just, you know, banging the top of the van. And so, yeah, I get it. You have a rental. You don't know what the height is. I mean, go out and ask anybody, hey, how tall do you think your vehicle is? They have no idea. How do most people judge? They start trying to drive through something, and then if they don't make it, they're like, oh, my car is too tall. But maybe if you're going to go rent a moving truck, ask for those dimensions. I think the trucks usually say them somewhere on them. Those you know, rider trucks or U-Haul or whatever you rent. But be aware. Don't get Storrowed. Because they will. I think the news stations probably just have people positioned over there. Because they get a photo of it every time. They get video of it every time. And they will put you all over the news. All over social media. So you don't want that to be you. You don't want to start your kids' year off by making them, oh, that's the kid whose dad got Storrowed. You don't want to do that to them. College is awkward enough. You don't need to saddle them with that. So I'm taking a look at the forecast for the next couple of days, and it's going to be perfect as far as I'm concerned. Mid-70s, no humidity, nice and dry. We're actually going to get quite the nice stretch of days here, minus some showers on Sunday. And then after Labor Day and beyond, we're back to these, you know, mid-70s temperatures. Perfect weather. I am ready. I am ready for football. I am ready for the leaves to change. I guess I'm ready for the kids to go back to school because they're making them do it before Labor Day anyway. But we're taking your thoughts on that. Should kids be able to have one last hurrah and go back the day after Labor Day as opposed to having to start this week? 508-996-0500. app chat and open line voicemail on the WBSM app. We were also talking earlier, and you can check out the story at WBSM.com and on the app that Ariel put together. She was actually there yesterday at the unveiling of the new playground at Kearney Academy. So the kids going back to school there now have a brand new playground. A brand new inclusive playground. State of the art. That they can utilize during school hours and that the community can use when school is not in session. And we were talking this morning about the importance of, as these new playgrounds are built, ensuring that they are accessible so that they're open to everybody. And so that also takes the pressure off a place like Noah's Place. If there's more options for accessible playgrounds, then, you know, things don't get so backed up down there with so many people waiting to use what's there at the playground and a wait period to be able to do so. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM. Hello? Oh, there we go. All right, now you're on the air.
Hello?
Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
If we can go back to politics for just a couple of minutes.
Sure.
It sort of drives me mad that people are jumping all over Kamala Harris because there will be she and her potential vice president. She has had this foisted upon her, sort of, very recently. She's not running a normal campaign. She hasn't had months or maybe even years to get ready to do this. So everything is sort of compacted now. And if people have to know who she and he are, if they do it at the same time, it's expedient. And I just don't know how people can just immediately jump to the negative and start to look for the worst instead of saying, well, maybe she has to do it this way.
Well, I mean, I think there's so many people that are just waiting for any shot they can take at her.
Absolutely. And
whether or not it's justified or not, they just are looking for that. I mean, a friend of mine, you know, made a joke about how J.D. Vance went into her favorite sandwich shop on a campaign stop and he got a meatball sub from there and she didn't. Like, you know, just kind of like that was the joke. Like, I can't believe J.D. Vance got a meatball sub today and I didn't. Yeah. And I wrote, you know, just as a joke, well, there's another reason to vote for Kamala. And a guy comes in and talks about, well, what other reasons are there? What has she really done? Oh, calm down, guy. It's just a joke, Lord, about a meatball sandwich.
I know. This is a democracy. And even if you don't like some of her policies, no one likes all of the presidential policies. You might like half or a third. But she's not a supreme leader. She's not a dictator. It has to go through the process. And if there's a majority in the opposite camp, she's probably not going to get anything done because that seems to be the way it is more often than not. So all of these people who are freaking out, oh, my God, we're going to be paying more taxes, oh, my God, not necessarily, because it has to go through the Congress and Senate and all the other little intricacies that we have to run this amazing country.
And if you're so, you know, if you believe so strongly that the Republican way is the right way, then why are you so scared about it? Because she won't have that majority in Congress to be able to pass those things through, right? But
right.
If you're concerned about it, what it shows is you're actually scared to know that your party is going in the wrong direction and that they won't be there in 2 years.
Right. Huh? So, I'm sorry. I was listening to the gentleman. He's very bright, and he comes up with a lot of interesting things. But I just thought, oh, my God, this is just go back to the basics, people. You know, I think we need to get social studies or whatever back in our schools because people don't know how this country runs.
That is true. I saw people making comments about, you know, what she's done in the last 4 years. I said, well, you obviously don't know what the role of the vice president is because
exactly.
She didn't do any of that.
I had to explain that to a friend of mine. Anyway, thank you for letting me vent.
No problem. That's what we're here for. You have a great day.
You as well. Bye-bye.
And I got to take one final break for this hour. We'll be right back. Another hour in the books. We'll have one more to go with you and I before we give way to Chris McCarthy and South Coast Now coming up at 9 a.m. So still a whole hour for you to call in and call me the loony liberal. 508-996-0500. App chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. And don't forget, too, that it's not just about the presidential election. There's a lot going on the local level as well. And Chris McCarthy has had you covered from top to bottom on that. And will even more as we head closer to November. So if you miss any of his interviews and discussions with candidates.
If you're a facilities manager at a warehouse and your HVAC system goes down, it can turn up the heat, literally. But don't sweat it. Grainger has you covered. Grainger offers over a million industrial-grade products for all your operations, including warehouse HVAC maintenance. And even better, they offer access to experts and fast delivery, so you and your warehouse can both keep your cool. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.